This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiology Extended Learning Series, featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You are about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, we'll have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access on your mobile device, and each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/ACCEL.
Listen now to a talk Peter McCullough had with Dr. Steven Steinhubbel, Director of Digital Medicine at Scripps Translational Science Institute in La Jolla, California. They discuss a digital end-to-end nationwide pragmatic trial of screening for undiagnosed atrial fibrillation within a health insurance system using a self-applied ECG patch. Primary results of the mHealth screening to prevent strokes mSTOPS trial.
Dr. Steinhubbel, welcome to AXL.
Thank you, Peter.
I think that you're the first person I've ever interviewed who's a director of digital medicine, and I think, yes, you have taken the prize for the longest title of this important study. But why don't we start with just a few comments regarding the fast-moving field of technology, wearable technology, and where it's going.
There's really incredible opportunities in a wide range of wearable sensors, home sensors, and what was interesting or what was state-of-the-art a year ago is now old. And so ECGs with multiple different forms are kind of old school. You know, several of the large techs, Apple Watch, Fitbit, can measure heart rate and want to start measuring rhythm using the photoplethysmography that they can pick up with wrist sensors. There's continuous blood pressure devices, continuous glucose monitoring. It's not only being able to get almost ICU quality vital signs, but it's actually almost new vital signs. Things like continuous heart rate variability, heart rate recovery in the real world, things like that, that are going to eventually, once we understand them and best understand how to incorporate that into care, are going to really change the way we're able to practice medicine.
But the low-hanging fruit here specifically is the detection of atrial fibrillation.
Yeah, because there's a huge need, there's a huge benefit to screening, and we have many different technologies from one extreme of not even using an ECG and doing a PPG to the other extreme of an implantable device to monitor your heart continuously for years.
Right, and we have effective therapy for stroke reduction.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that if you're going to screen for something, you want it to be something that you can really impact outcomes. And with anticoagulation therapy, decreasing the risk of stroke by greater than 65%, mortality by 30%, there's really a lot of incentive to better understand who to screen for and how to best screen.
Okay, let's get into it and tell us about mSTOPS trial.
So mSTOPS was designed for two specific reasons. One is to identify a way to pragmatically screen an at-risk population for undiagnosed atrial fibrillation. It was also designed as a proof of concept to show that you could carry out a completely digitized clinical trial, taking advantage of multiple digital technologies in order to accomplish this. And it was built within the Aetna health system so that we were able to identify people who met all inclusion and exclusion criteria and then reach out to those individuals and invite them to be part of the study.
So you did something interesting where you used the CHADS-VASc score, which the listeners will know predicts stroke and atrial fibrillation, but you used that score to, in a sense, enhance the population for the detection of AFib.
Right. Well, we wanted to find individuals who we would want to do something with once we found that, but it is kind of impressive how CHADS-VASc also correlates with that risk of atrial fibrillation, as well as the benefit of anticoagulation when you find the atrial fibrillation.
And what was the technology and how many individuals participated?
So we ended up with 2,655 individuals enrolling. Those who enrolled were randomized either immediate monitoring or delayed monitoring with a wearable ECG sensor patch by iRhythm called the Zio Patch. It's FDA approved. It's used clinically, routinely, and it was perfect for this study because it was very easy for the participants to self-apply. So this was a sightless trial. Everything was done either digitally or, in this case, we mailed the Zio Patch to individuals and asked them to place it on the chest themselves. So there was no need to kind of link to a smartphone or anything else. And then we asked people to wear two Zio patches. We asked them to wear it for 14 days, and they were remarkable participants. They were very compliant with wearing them.
So a 14-day observation period.
And then on two different periods. So actually, the median monitoring time for people was 22 days.
Okay, got it. And what'd you find?
So we found, maybe not surprisingly, is that wearing the patch significantly increased the diagnosis of atrial fibrillation. In the immediate versus the delayed monitoring cohort with the four-month endpoint, it was a nine-fold increase in the rate of AFib diagnosis. We then did a one-year follow-up with age, sex, and CHA2DS2 matched observational cohort to look at healthcare resource utilization in the monitor cohort compared to the observational cohort. And then at 1 year, the difference, it was a threefold increase in AFib diagnosis in the monitored cohort versus the observational control as more clinically diagnosed cases came forward. Not surprisingly, we found that in the observational controls that those who had AFib were much more likely, in fact, six times more likely to have a stroke associated with their atrial fibrillation. They were three times more likely to have an MI and twice as likely to have an inpatient hospitalization or emergency room visit. We also found, though, that monitoring was associated with more outpatient primary care visits, more outpatient cardiology visits, and more pacemaker placement, but most importantly, more initiation of anticoagulation therapy, too.
So give us a perspective on this technology and its capability in terms of giving us a lead time in the detection of atrial fibrillation. What proportion of all AFib that would become apparent at some point, what percent could it actually detect, do you think, before that comes to us?
That's a key question. The honest answer is I don't know. We think by looking at other studies, about a third of all atrial fibrillation is undiagnosed. But I think to me, one of the most interesting findings in mSTOPS was that for the majority of people, the burden of atrial fibrillation they had was quite low. So the median was less than 1%, 0.9%. So that means that in these individuals, 99% of the time, they were not in atrial fibrillation. So when we look at like the current guidelines, which were based on opportunistic screening for atrial fibrillation, where you're going to have to be extremely lucky to capture the vast majority of people that we found to have atrial fibrillation. So because this is the first study of really long-term screening, you know, several weeks of wearing a patch, that we may be finding it much earlier and at a point where beyond just anticoagulation, maybe other lifestyle or medication interventions could prevent it from progressing.
So do you have a future vision that in primary care or in clinical cardiology, if we have a patient in midlife with some of these CHA2DS2 factors, let's say hypertension and diabetes, that in fact we may ask patients as part of their health assessment to wear one of these patches for a month and let's see what we find?
I completely agree with that. I think that when I look at like what we do now in executive physicals, it's not nearly as effective as potentially the idea of asking someone to wear a patch. Or maybe in the future, it would be just wear a wrist device that will aggressively, day to day, continuously measure your heart rate and heart rhythm as you do that as a check. And beyond just the clinical factors, you know, there are several now genetic risk scores for increased risk of atrial fibrillation. And it might be a combination of a genetic risk factors, clinical factors, and really identify people who are at high risk, and maybe even looking at people who might have sleep apnea and morbid obesity, which were two of our entry criteria into the study that had a pretty good AFib burden, and people that we say, okay, with these folks, we need to treat more aggressively.
So what do you think the yield would be for an individual who's 55, who has hypertension and diabetes and is in normal sinus rhythm on the office ECG? What would be the yield for that person at that CHA2DS2 score if they wore a patch for 30 days? What percent would you estimate would actually have some AFib?
Well, it's a great question. I think if I had to guess just based on our results, because you could get in with that, it would be 1.0. You know, it would be in a very low criteria just based on those. Now, if you had sleep apnea, then that would go up, or morbid obesity would potentially go up, at least based on our findings.
But do you think it's based on clinical factors possible to apply this in patients, let's say, with 5 or 10% risk and really confirm AFib?
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, StrokeStop has done with the elderly. So the easiest way to screen for an enriched population is that we're going to screen everybody over age 80. But what you'd like to find is everybody and prevent strokes in everybody, irrespective of age.
Well, Dr. Steinhubl, this has been a terrific interview. I learned a ton, and I'm excited to try to use this technology myself. And I think you've really helped us understand where we're going in this new age of tech and wearable monitoring devices for the purpose, in this case, of detecting a very important problem, that is atrial fibrillation.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
This is Alfred Beauvais, editor-in-chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/accel.